But there's a verse that I want to draw your attention to. It is in Psalm 34. And the testimony that we have heard tonight, among other things, highlights the blessings, the benefits, the delights of the Christian life. And I want just for a few moments tonight to show you what's entailed in being a Christian. And we look at the words in Psalm 34 in the 8th verse. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What a verse. And I want tonight to talk to you about this Christian life for these few minutes. And notice first of all the essence of it. What is the core? What is the kernel of the Christian life? The answer is in that verse. It's the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It is not in religion. It's good to come to church, especially when that church is a church that's thoroughly evangelical, fundamental on the issues, and it's outside the camp of apostasy. It's good to come to church. It's good to come to church with regularity. But that in itself will not make a person a Christian. It is good to be clean in our living, clean in our character. Good to be righteous. But being righteous, as far as our self-effort is concerned, while it is commendable in some aspects, yet with regard to salvation, it cannot obtain salvation. In fact, it's an abomination to salvation, because people feel that if they live a good life, they don't need God's salvation. And the Bible says that we're not saved through good works at all. The Bible says salvation, the Christian life, is in the Lord. We read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. We learn in Colossians 3 and 4, Christ who is our life. We learn in John 14, well-known verses, I am the life. We learn in 1 John chapter 5, well-known verses, he that hath the Son hath life. So the essence of this Christian life we've been hearing about tonight lies in God. The goodness of God. This is what the psalmist says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The goodness of God can be seen in many different ways. But let's limit it just to the matter of salvation. With regard to the plan of salvation, how good he has been in providing his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior. And then bringing him to Calvary's cross, that he would lay down his life a ransom for us, and suffer so much, and agonize so much, shed his precious atoning blood, die and rise again. And then the mighty power that he exercises in that life that calls upon him and trusts him as the Savior. Just think of it, friend. If you were to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and ask him to save you, in a moment he would blot out all your sins. He would forgive you. He would cleanse you. He would save your soul. Give you the title deeds to heaven. Assure you of a mansion in the glory. So this is what the Christian life is all about, and the essence of it is God himself. Do you know him? Are you vitally linked to him? Have you trusted him as your Savior and Lord? And then secondly, notice in these words, not only the essence of this life, but the experience of it. You say, that sounds good, preacher. That's tremendous that my sins can be forgiven, that they can be blotted out, that I can be a new creature, that I can be saved. How come? How do I experience this in my life? Well, there must be what's called appropriation. You have got to take this and appropriate it to yourself. Let's look at an illustration in the commercial realm. If you have a check written out, there's a certain amount, And it may be very encouraging to you. But that's not going to do you any good until you bring it to the bank. And the cashier will look at it, will look at the signature underneath it. And it's only then, whenever you present it, will you get what it's worth. You must present it at the bank. Or let's use an illustration from not the commercial realm, but the nautical realm. You're drowning. Storm, shipwreck. The lifeboat has come. They've found you in the dark. And strong hands are reaching out to pull you out of the deep into the boat. You will not be pulled out of the deep unless you respond and commit yourself to those strong hands that are bringing you out of the water into the boat. But let's change the scene again from the commercial to the nautical. Let's take the medical realm. You're not well. You're sick. You're running a very high temperature. You're shivery. It's the flu. You're taking the flu. You're burning up and yet you're freezing. Sounds like a paradox, but whenever you suffer that, you know what it's like. And it's only then, whenever the script from the health center, from the doctor, is written out, and it's brought to the chemist and presented to you, and you're told, take this, and you'll soon be better. It'll not do you any good until you apply it. And that's exactly what God's salvation is. It's there. It's sufficient. It's adequate. It can save your soul, but you must apply it. And that's found in two words here in Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man, verse 8 rather, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's the first one. Taste. Appropriate the water. Appropriate the food. You know what it's like if you want to taste something. Maybe soup. It may be a sweet. It may be meat. It may be fruit. Whatever it is. It may be a kind of a drink. You taste it first to see if you're going to like it. And then, by tasting it, you're appropriating it. And this is what the Bible tells us time and time again. We read in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, that he that is athirst, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. Got to partake of it. In Isaiah 55, we learn that God has said this, in the very first verse of that chapter, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. There's the principle of appropriation again. And you remember the Lord Jesus said in one occasion, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then in chapter 6, he brings the eating. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel, he brings the eating and the drinking together. In verse 35, listen carefully to these words. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. There's the hunger is satisfied. The thirst is satiated. What has happened? You have applied. You have appropriated what God has been giving to you. But there's another word. Not only taste and see that the Lord is good, but blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Tasting and trusting. That word trust means belief. It means faith. It means reliance. It means dependence. It means coming. It means believing. It means receiving. It means tasting. It means drinking. It means eating. It's all just different ways of saying the very same thing. And how tonight you experience these joys of the Christian life is simply, whether it's tasting or trusting or coming or believing or receiving, it's taking the Lord Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior. That's how this life becomes yours. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house. Wouldn't it be wonderful if families were to come to Christ tonight? You want to know how to experience this joy and peace? How someone can profess faith in the Lord Jesus as an 11-year-old boy and 64 years later still be rejoicing in the Lord and bearing testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus? Why? It's in trusting Him as your Savior. And moms and dads and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters can come as families tonight and enjoy this great salvation of Christ. We've seen the essence of it. It's in God. We have seen the experience of it. It is tasting and trusting in Jesus Christ alone as one's personal Savior. He who died on the cross, He who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. It's through Him and Him alone, trusting Him as your Savior. The essence of it, the experience of it, and then notice lastly, the effects of it. There are two mentioned here. Verse 8 of Psalm 34. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. First of all, there's the discovery that you will make. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you commit yourself to Him, once you trust your life to Him, you'll make the discovery that the Lord is good. You have heard me telling you of that. You've heard Miles telling you of it. But you'll find out for yourself. You'll see for yourself. You'll see the wonder of His grace. You'll marvel at that grace that has reached down and saved you. You'll come to see the richness of His mercy. You'll come to see the depths of His love and discover the greatness of His power that will keep you the rest of your life on earth and in death and bring you into heaven. What a discovery you'll make. What delights you'll find. Notice the second part of the verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. There's the delight. See that word blessed? It's the word Asher. You know there was a son of Jacob's called Asher. It means happy. And this is what this word means. It means happy. It means very happy. Why would I be very happy if I taste and see that the Lord is good? Why would I be delighted if I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Well, your soul will be saved. You'll have peace in your mind and in your life. Your conscience will be stilled. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll have victory over habits that are destroying you. You will have the prospect of heaven. You will have the companionship of the Lord Jesus on earth. Your soul will be saved. And you will find that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's why the psalmist says in this verse, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And I want to finish with that. I want to say to you tonight, I want to urge you, I want to exhort you, and say to you and exhort you tonight, you taste and see that the Lord is good. You find this blessedness, this happiness by trusting in Him. But I want to make it a little bit more earnest and more warm than that, and take that letter, which is really a word that starts off the verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. The psalmist has put feeling into this. He's not saying, you taste and see that the Lord is good. But he's saying, oh, do it. There's passion. There's enthusiasm. There's earnestness. And I say that to you tonight. Plead with you with every fiber of my being. Leave your sins. Put your trust in Christ. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him.